Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we have notes today from the OTA on 6/2/26. Beautiful day, clear skies in the 70s. Very kind of, you felt the sun out there, no doubt about it, but unpadded practice. Lamar Jackson was at practice today, did not throw particularly well. It was a non-mandatory event again. Players not present included Chidobe Awuzie, Kyle Hamilton, Rashad Bateman, Ronnie Stanley, Corey Bullock, Marlon Humphrey, Nnamdi Matabike, Calais Campbell, John Jenkins, Travis Jones, Adisa Isaac, and Tyler Huntley. So a fairly long list of folks who weren't there. Teddy Buchanan, he may have been there, but I did not see him in uniform. He's been there previously. He's been at the facility, so I imagine he was around somewhere. Bilal Kone was present, but he didn't do 11-on-11s again today, so he was only doing some of the individual drills and working on the side a little bit. They did the usual set and snap drills times two. Meaning they split the field into two. Backups are really going on one set, and the starters are going on the other. Like last season, lots of emphasis on duplicating the huddle, not using helmets. Nobody's wearing anything. Getting off quickly. And it was interesting because we talked to Declan Doyle about it. It's the first time I'd been there when Declan Doyle was at the podium. Very impressive. And he talked about cadence a little bit. I want to get into that a little bit later. Watched the offensive line for a while, like I always do. There's a couple of new drills that I hadn't seen before. Ledford on some reps simulates the snap twice. And the players, all they do is move and do their footwork. And it really is fairly impressive. You see these guys really dancing effectively in unison. Their first step, they're making sure they have right, particularly on plays where they're picking up and moving. And they look good doing it. So it was interesting to see that. I hadn't seen Coach D do that. At least I haven't seen it in a long time, if I ever have. Then they did an interesting drill I hadn't seen before. They had medicine balls there. These are the same medicine balls, I presume, that they threw the other day. But they would have a medicine ball from the left and a medicine ball from the right, each thrown at the offensive lineman, and they would have to knock them down one at a time. Now, I think they knew it was left and then right, and so they had an idea where to put their hands and do it. So they didn't try and surprise them with the order of the medicine ball, but anyway, everybody had a pretty good knock at the ball directly to get the ball to the ground. Tyler Huntley was absent, so the backup quarterbacks Thompson, Pavia, and Fagnano all got some reps in both 11-on-11 and 7-on-7. Skylar Thompson had done okay for reps as it had been so far, even with Jackson there, but Pavia and Fagnano got significant reps in 7s and 11s for the first time in a while. So that was a fairly big deal. They continue to be short on defensive linemen. That's means that lots of extra work for the defensive linemen who are there. But I've mentioned some of the guys that were not there, including Matabike, Campbell, Jenkins, and Travis Jones. It does mean that Benny Okoye, Peebles, Washington, Graves, and Wilson all got plenty of reps there. Okoye and Green had a nice play where they surrounded Jackson for a sack in 11-on-11. And they also had a nice penetration from Graves that set up a tackle for loss. That was one of the other good defensive line plays. Carson Vinson continues to get a ton of reps for Ronnie Stanley, who's not there. So this is a big time for Carson Vinson this summer. Important that he show he's ready to play. He had already last year, you know, beaten out Joe Noteboom for the backup job. You know, he really needs to be ready to play, I think, this fall, and I think he will be. Primarily two centers got the reps today, Gwynn and Pinter. Dawkins was also there, and you know, some of the offensive line drills and whatnot. And I'm sure he took some 11s. I just didn't notice it. Corey Bullock was missing. So that was kind of an unusual absence. Go through the 7-on-7 highlights kind of quickly. Jacoby Lane tried to make a very difficult catch by the left sideline, was unable to come up with a ball while covered by Keon Martin. Huntley, I'm sorry. We have some passes, particularly crossing routes. from Skylar Thompson to LaJonte Wester over the middle that were one of the highlights of the time. That was really on 11s. We had a near fumble by Henry on a pitch from Lamar that he collected off his chest. That was on the very first 11 of the day, 11 on 11 of the day. TJ Tampa made a nice downhill play on Mark Andrews on the right side to not break up a pass, but for what would have been a tackle at or near the line of scrimmage. So it's good to see Tampa reacting quickly to the pass there. Kamen Rucker beat Jones outside for a pressure. It might have been a sack. Obviously, they don't make quarterback contact with the quarterback, so he was in there quickly. So a nice screenplay run. And you know, don't often see great screen blocking here in Baltimore. It's just not a big part of what they've done in the past. But both Jared Penning and Evan Bjornstad were out in front of a screen pass to Ali. Looked like it was set up for a big gain, and both those guys lined up their blocks well, and it's nice to see that. And maybe the screen is a bigger part of the offense now with Boyle in town. Skylar Thompson completed a 15-yard pass to LaJonte Wester, who was wide open in the middle of the field. LaJonte had several catches today. Probably is the offense's best player, which I'll get to a little bit later. Fagnano completed a pass to Cortez Bram by the right sideline, about 20 yards down the field. Nice throw. Fagnano throws a nice ball on a line and did a pretty good job. I have a furry friend who wants to get in the room. I'm going to let her in. Sorry about that, folks. Had a nice penetration where Ethan Burke made what would have been a tackle for loss of Elijah Tautolliver, but it was off initial penetration from Aaron Graves, who was coming from the inside. So nice play set up by Graves there that Burke finished. Tavius Robinson got underneath the pads of Roger Rosengarten. They're not really having competitive reps, but this was a case where he was driven back for what appeared to be a pressure. Very nice looking rush from Tavius. And they don't normally go as competitively as I saw on that rep. And Roger just found himself a little bit on his heels on that play. We saw Keon Martin deliver a PD versus Lamar Jackson. It was about 5 yards in the middle of the field. Two plays later, after that, Martin backed up Jacoby Lane to blow up a run play. And so he had a big day. Zion Young had a pass defensed in the backfield. That was just a play where he got good pressure, got his hands up, and it wasn't even a case of he was like getting to a ball on the side or whatever. He was kind of getting towards the quarterback's face, which was nice about it. Zion had a good day. Kayvon Wallace had a pass defense 20 yards between the numbers and the left hash. That was almost collected by Keandre Jackson. It was thrown by Thompson, tipped in the air, and Keandre had a chance at that one, but he couldn't collect it. TJ Tampa, another nice downhill play. This one time on Derrick Henry to blow up a screen pass 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage by the right sideline. So TJ Tampa reacting well downhill. Zion Young, another pressure on an inside rush that became a screen left. Still, it was, I would call the play pressured, and Zion had to kind of stop in terms of the pressure because he can't hit the quarterback, of course. Skylar Thompson threw for Cuevas. It was about 10 yards, middle of the field. Ball was tipped and intercepted by Keandre Jackson. So that one was tipped by Cuevas and tipped up in the air by Jackson, who was covering him, and Jackson collected the football. So Keandre, second of a three-part big day for him. We saw Diego Pavia throw a 20-yard pass between the numbers and the right hash, which LaJonte Wester tipped to avoid an interception. So, you know, sometimes a good play is a catch, and other times a good play is going outside the frame and trying to deflect the ball down to avoid an interception, and that was the case here. There was a safety lurking, and I didn't see who it was on that play who might have had the interception. Fagnano had a 15-yard completion to Octavian Smith between the hashes, I should say. Mike Green beat Carson Vincent outside with a cross chop for an apparent sack. So Mike Green in a couple plays in this game, a couple actually sack plays in this game. And then Keandre Jackson made yet another play, delivering a pass defense and a ball intended for Wester 10 yards between the hashes. So three big plays from Keandre in this practice, who was, I think, correctly identified as the star by most of the reporters covering the event. I did see a couple others that had already talked about it. And when we got to the podium, everybody wanted to ask questions about Keandre Jackson, particularly of the first guy there, who was Anthony Levine. And I'll get to that in just a moment here. Anyway, defense dominated overall. Green, Young, Jackson, and Martin, I would identify as the stars on offense. I think the couple deep crosses they hit to LaJonte Wester and the ball he knocked down that might have been an interception, those were good. And he looked very comfortable as a receiver. Almost looked like Zay Flowers out there in terms of his comfort crossing the field. And I didn't really watch him make his breaks at the route to see if he, you know, was leaving a cornerback behind in the way Zay had, but he looked good. Tyler Loop made three short field goals. Then he tried one from 63 yards. There was a fair amount of wind today, by the way, at practice. He hooked that one wide left. The ball kind of flattened out in a way you'll sometimes see a kick do if it wobbles a little bit to start, and ended up hooking to the left. But it did have the distance. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough. It can make you feel overwhelmed, and can make you count down the minutes until the kids are back in school. I know I look forward to summer as a time to take a break, but as a self-employed person, time spent away from my work is time I stress over wasting. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp is a quality therapist who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial therapist matching for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right on the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session, based on 1.7 million client reviews. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com, which was impressive. So it was fairly well blasted. And unlike the previous OTAs, there wasn't any end of practice game they played. I think part of it, maybe they had an event for PSL owners there. So a lot of PSL owners, this was a really nice event, a very well catered event. I was looking at the food, you know, walking by and thinking I'd love to have a hamburger here, but they had the PSL owners who were there all had their chairs out. And unlike a lot of the rest of camp, which is very kid oriented, it's oriented towards, you know, autograph hunting and whatnot. And, you know, this was much more of an adults event. There are a few kids there, but it's primarily an adults event. And they really seem to be appreciated and very intent on practice like the rest of us were. So interesting to see that. And they apparently took some time with the players to go greet the fans in doing that, which is nice touch. At the podium, I mentioned we had Anthony Levine. And so immediately the question started coming up about the similarity of Keandre Jackson to him. Now, Keandre Jackson, a backup safety, an excellent special teams player. That's, of course, exactly what Levine was. And Anthony kind of shut it down pretty quickly. He says he's a better athlete. He's more physical. He's going to go a lot further than I did in the league, kind of thing. Interesting. I mean, I think that Jackson, in a lot of ways, his future is going to be decided in terms of, can he maintain who he is as a special teams player, but also can he break through and become a useful backup safety the way Levine did. I mean, that's what kept him in the league for years, was the combination of being a captain on special teams, which I think Jackson could be, and then a very useful defensive player. All Ravens great, long-lasting special teams players. McClellan is, you know, would be a similar player in this group. Benny Thompson would be in this group. They had some role on defense to go with some role on special teams. And so I think that'll be key for him. Anthony Levine mentioned that Minter is often in the special teams meetings and gives him feedback on coaching, which I thought was kind of cool. So one thing, he debunked any notion that Minter might have a lower interest in special teams than, say, Harbaugh did. That's one question I've been asked a lot, is we have the same kind of focus on that in practice. I did have somebody come up to me today and talk about it. And he said, you know, he thought he'd seen less of that. I think what I'm noticing is that the players seem to be right now, they seem to be working on building up to full team punt and punt return reps and kickoff return reps. So they're doing the little things that you build up the 6-on-6 reps or the 1-on-2 gunner reps, say on a punt, that allow you to build up to a full punt rep. And those are, it's a process. They need these players to learn individually. You have a lot of people playing on both sides of those units. There's a lot of 3 and 4 unit special teams players, and they'll play both punt and punt return. And so they have to learn both sides of that. And so in some ways it necessitates them doing them like partial drills, but later on they will get into full drills. And I just don't think they're quite there yet. They will once the preseason gets underway. Next to the podium was Anthony Weaver. He was asked about Keandre Jackson. Pretty much everybody was. He said the ball finds energy. Thought it was a great comment. You know, that the high energy players, and he, you know, that's how he labeled Keandre Jackson. The ball just seems to find them on the field. He's asked about Zion Young, also one of the stars of today. He said he's as advertised, hungry, wants to be great. Anthony Weaver has something positive to say about anything. A lot of positive energy there, and certainly a player's coach in a lot of ways. He said the OTAs have showed him 3 things about the defense. 1 is that they care. 2 is they have a chip on their shoulder. And 3 is they kind of know they've not lived up to the standard of the Ravens defense in 2025 and that they have something to prove again. So I think that goes with having a chip on their shoulder, but great points there by Weaver, and great to hear the defense is into it in the way they should be. He was asked about Calais Campbell and jokingly said he was a great acquisition because somebody who relates to the same music that he does, the music of his generation, is kind of the idea being there. Calais is still substantially younger than Anthony Weaver, who was a rookie in 2002, but he has been in the league a long time, and he's excited to have him back on the team. They also asked him about Declan Doyle and the value of having the defense play against an offensive coordinator who has a lot to throw at a defense. He said, you know, Declan Doyle is a genius and has a photographic memory. We had not gotten to talk to Doyle before today, but I will say he is an extremely impressive man. You see him at the podium. He formulates the answers very quickly. I've seen Ravens coaches that were different types of impressive. Anthony Weaver's impressive in his own right. I mean, he's a very mature human being. He's clearly a leader. Doyle is an intellectual, and it comes out very directly. His answers are right to the point. He formulates them quickly. He does a very good job. And I'd urge you to listen to the actual questions he was asked. I asked him about cadence specifically. He says it remains a focus that in particular that many college players, he thought today, came from programs where they play fast, but they don't really try and work on cadence. But the cadence is the one thing that the offense knows that the defense doesn't. And, you know, with cadence and formation and motion are things they can use to try and deceive the defense. I thought that was very well done. I'd really encourage you to listen to his answers, though. He's a 29-year-old who's extremely impressive, and I think you'll appreciate the interview. They're practicing with call it, as Luke Jones called it in his question, and that means that the offensive coordinator is calling the play on the field, kind of similarly to the way they would during a game. It's better practice, Doyle said, than the script methodology where you tell the offense all the plays in advance. Here's what we're going to run, A, B, C, D, E kind of thing. They're just calling the play as it comes. So the players have to kind of know the playbook to a degree. And that the fact that they're doing this on June 2nd in OTAs is really good if the offense is already this far along. And Zay Flowers had things to say about that later. He said, you know, it's a new system. It's like learning a new language, the new terminology and whatnot. And, you know, he's asking a lot of these players to have all this thrown at them, you know, and June 2nd be ready to do this. I'm very impressed by that. Last thing about Doyle was an interesting one. He was asked, will he be in the booth or on the field? And he said he would try both during the preseason and see which works best for him and then make a choice and stick with it. He thought each had its advantages. He wanted to be near the players, but he also wanted to have the perspective of being in the booth. So he's going to try them both and see what works. I think the Ravens on defense, they really have the whole Bermuda Triangle of eyes on the field. Minter will have to be at field level and always looking at the field to keep track of the game in from all aspects, even though he'll call the plays, I presume. And losing my mind here, Anthony Weaver will also be on the field with him. The reason that's true is just Anthony Weaver is a player's coach. He wants to be there in the and convey his energy to the players. And then you should have Volker, who is Minter's longtime friend, in the booth to be his eyes and ears up there and be a guy who's watching from a different perspective, conveying information about what's going on, kind of filling a quality control role for the defense, I would expect. But that's how I expect them to be situated. Advantage in Weaver is that being at field level along with Minter is that Weaver can go chew out one unit or make changes if he needs to directly with them, either without or with consultation with Minter on that. So I think there's value to having those three spots manned, certainly, and at least two, one on each side of the ball. Zay Flowers was last at the podium. He talked about Declan throwing a lot of stuff at them. You got the impression that they're drinking from a fire hose a little bit. Mentioned it's like learning a new language. He had a lot of things to say about Declan, but he said he's the same mentality as us, that they really want to get after it. That Doyle is a genius. He talks very fast. And he's still easy to relate to, which is nice to hear. The fact that they're 29, he's 29 and Zay is about that age, is not that age, I should say, is probably making it easier to relate to players. Zay was also asked about being a leader. And, he did say it's a little strange given the fact that he's not that old, but he seems to be embracing a role as a leader. You know, you got Walker and Jacoby Lane and Surratt. And LeJonte Wester are all younger than him. Bateman is still around. He's not actually there right now. He has some personal issues. I did hear Bateman had a child in May, so that may be what he's concerned about right now. But he's going to be there for camp, of course, and he'll probably be there for the mandatory mini camp as well, which is coming up in about, I think it's coming up in 2 weeks. So they have to, no, it's next week. It's next week. So anyway, I presume he'll be back for that. But anyway, Zay, a leader in that wide receiver room, and it's very clear. And he's asked, of course, if everyone's happy that Myles Garrett is out of the AFC North. And he confirmed that, and everybody had a little laugh on that. But good practice today anyway. Fairly well dominated by the defense, as I mentioned before, but some interesting plays all around and some very interesting podium time, particularly with Doyle, who I hadn't seen before. So I thought that was interesting stuff. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, use hashtag Film Study Mailbag. Go out and give the YouTube channel a look, if you will, particularly if you want some of the short content there, and give it a like and subscribe. And we'll talk to you soon on Film Study. ¶¶